Welcome to Retro Wars, where each week me and a friend talk about the video games we used to play back when we were kids. And this is episode 116, and we're talking Shadow of the Beast, which was released on the Amiga in 1989, but I played the Mega Drive version because I'm a basic bitch. Hello, I hope you are well. My name is Danny. Yeah, Shadow of the Beast. Never played this one before, and I got asked by my guest, Jake, from the Breast Bee to cancel podcast. Imagine that. It's been 20 seconds and I managed a breast. He's going to kill me for that. Everyone, go to the breast and don't start Googling breast B to cancel. It's press B to cancel, everybody. I was going to edit that out, but I'm sure Jake would find the funny side of this. Yes, I never played this before, but Jake asked me to do this. He said, oh, this is a quick game for you. It'll take you like half an hour. Lion Toad. This is a hard game. Very, very difficult. And makes you think, oh my god, I hate myself. But it can be done in like 35 minutes or something stupid if you're a god. But I actually, considering how much bullshit there is in this game, I really enjoyed it. I actually did enjoy it. I thought I was going to hate it because it was going to be unfair, but I don't think it's an unfair game. It's just there's a lot of stuff you got to deal with. And it's so, you got to be nigh on perfect to finish this game. But I still enjoyed it. Yeah, of course I save stated it to high heaven. I don't care saying that. Because otherwise I was never going to finish the game. And never going to be able to give you a full review. But I still enjoyed it. See? Save states are fine. Don't accuse me of save scubbing and being a cheat. Well, I am a cheat. But it's either way, it was funny. Now, we are going to get into that chat with me and Jake. But if you are here just for that, go about half an hour, 20 odd minutes down the line. But please stay. We try and have some fun. We try and educate you as best we can. Let's get the plugs out of the way first. Wherever you listen to this, please support the show and support our guest show, The Press B to Bot. I didn't do that. I nearly did it again, The Press B to Cancel Podcast. Wherever you listen to this, please give it a 5-star review. Please share it. Leave a review. Tell me I'm crap. Tell me I'm good. If you want to support us on YouTube, we're over there, where each month a retrospective of all our favorite video games will be appearing. I want to say a big, big thank you. This week, we hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, which meant I can join the YouTube partner platform, which I've been able to do, and I've started getting paid. It's very, very small. I don't care. I am over the moon. So thank you, everyone. A big shout out to Captain N, who went on to the Remember the Game Discord and managed to get me 30 subscribers in a second, and that took us over the line. But thank you to everyone who was sharing the post, retweeting it, getting it out there. I really do appreciate it. I'm humbled. I really am humbled. And I feel with hitting that 1,000 subscriber mark, it takes a lot of the pressure off now. And now it's all up to me. Make good content. That is simply it. The latest video is out there and it is of Dragon Quest. So I hope everybody enjoys it. I'm preparing a Dragon Quest 2. And then once that's done, I'm going to do a Super Mario World versus Sonic the Hedgehog 2. That will be coming up in the future. I should also say as well, I did have all the episodes of the podcast on YouTube, but I took them all down. And there's a simple reason for that, because it was destroying the average time. And I think what it was people clicking on the video, realizing, oh, this is a podcast, it's not a video. And then they'd watch like 2 minutes and come off, and that kind of screws everything up. So I'm just literally going to keep the podcast here and keep the YouTube separate. So it's all going to be separate. There's going to be no crossing of that. They're all going to be... And then keep them on their own platforms. It's probably the best way of doing it. If you want to support the show financially, you can do at patreon.com/RetroWars. With a $1 each month, you get access to your own show called DLC, which could be top 10s, modern day game reviews, or gaming events. As a bit of a sneak peek, as we have hit that magic 1,000 subscriber mark on YouTube, I wanted to talk to you about how I got there and my past journey when it comes to this sort of thing. So it's a bit of a, oh, woe is me tale, but you might enjoy it. I used to think that retail was the way forward. Like if you could work in an EB Games or a GameStop sort of thing, that'd be great. But looking back now, no. I mean, that's no disrespect to someone working in retail, but I've done retail and I don't want to do retail anymore. screw that. Absolutely screw that with a passion. I've got no. I do not want to do any retail. Thank you very much. And that was episode 85 of my journey into hell, basically. Now, to let you know that 5% of all our Patreon fund each month will be going to a UK charity called Get Well Gamers, where they provide 150 children's wards across the UK with games and consoles. If you have any games you don't want anymore, rather than sell them, please think of donating to the charity, and the link is in the description below. Now, what else do you get for your money? Well, you get access to our own Discord, where they just talk rubbish all the time. You get the chance to message me one-on-one and take part in all of our games of 16 Bits of Nonsense, Survive or Die, DLC, and comment on our game of the week. And I probably won't be able to pronounce your names correctly. Right, let's move into our first section, shall we, which we call 16 Bits of Nonsense. So 16 Bits of Nonsense, our letter section, where you guys can pretty much ask me whatever you want. First up, Captain N. He says, "Darn it, Danny. Let's say you were perfect at podcasting. You're not, but we're pretending here. I mean, you really aren't that good. I've heard nails on a chalkboard sound better." Yeah, it's probably fair. "You need to up your game. How about you start with being better? I actually don't mean any of that, but if I don't keep that hustle going, who will? Get good, Captain N." Aw, you're so nice, Captain N. And I'm not perfect. Nowhere near. "I listen to other shows. I listen to some of you guys and your podcasts, and they're so much better than mine. Me, it's just an idiot in front of a microphone just chatting shit. Like, there's so much work that go into some other podcasts. Like, Remember the Game, obviously. And when I listen to Retro Hangover. Like, Retro Hangover, I think, does a fantastic job. Like, the research they put into games and the discussions they have, they can go into the hours upon hours upon hours. Like, their Dark Soul one was, like, 3 hours long or something stupid. And that's a show that I really, really like. I know I always joke about There's Your Plug, but it's a show I really appreciate, because what Chris and Shane do is they really dig into the history of a video game, and they talk about a lot of the themes. Yes, they joke as well, but they will really talk about the important things about a video game and try and give them fair shakes, and they get really good guests on as well. And I've been on their show once and really enjoyed it. I did Turtles, and all I did, I self-confess, was just try and wind up Shane, and it worked like a treat. It was just genius. But either way, look, I've got a long way to go. Every week I want to improve, and some weeks I realize I've been a bit flat, because if you talk a bit like this, then you just sound a bit flat. But that's why you got to up it. Just that little bit of inflection. If you just talk a little bit more oomph, then you sound a bit more interesting. And that's going to take time. Like, I know the audio is not the best in the moment because of the room I'm in, so I've got to try and find ways to put more blankets up so to try and stop maybe some echoey. So that is good. I'm trying to work that out. I can't hang anything up, though. That's the problem. There's a window over there. I might be able to put a blanket up there. It's just basically, where can I put stuff so the room doesn't sound so echoey? Like, really, I need to put something in front of me. That's the main thing, because I had brick wall originally. Now I haven't really got brick wall. I've got something I can put my fist through. I'm not going to do that. It's not that hard. So that's what the sound's going to be vibrating off. So I need to figure that out. So leave that with me. But yeah, you are right, Captain N. If you don't mock me, I'm not going to get any better. Thank you. Chris Copleen says, "Chuck's Harry Smutty Satin Dud. You talking about Tifa's boobs had me thinking about boobs. But I have to ask, are you a boob guy or an ass guy? But if you are a boob guy," I definitely am a boob guy, "what size melons are you looking to juggle? I try and live by the mindset of more than a mouthful is a waste." Which also implies there needs to be a mouthful, as big honking bazookas aren't always appealing. "Also, women, just to reassure you, you're beautiful any size. Also, please talk about cocks for equality, Danny. Can't leave that on the cold. Pull cunts would shrink." Look, I am a breast man. I am a breast man. I can't deny that. I do. Look, again, I'm not asked the size of the breast. Let's just put it out there. Ladies, you're beautiful. I don't have perfect boobs. I'm just grateful I get to see my wife's. I'm like a little kid at the candy store. Like, every time she gets dressed, I'm like, "Oh." Even now, she's, "Oh, you don't like me anymore. I'm not pretty anymore. I've had a kid." I was like, "Yes, you are. You're still beautiful. I love you. I still, every time you get changed. So I'm not an ass man, I'm a boob man. And just to assure you, ladies, any day that you listen, yes, let's talk about cocks for equality. Now, I don't have any problems with a penis. It's not my cup of tea. It's not something I look at and go, ooh, it's for me. It's sadly not. You keep them to yourself. Everyone's got a penis. Well, men have a penis. So enjoy them. Yeah, you do you. Make sure you give it a wash. That's all I'll say. Raging Demon says, this week on Raging Demon's lecture series is boobs. Oh, for God's sake. Why do I open the door for you guys? Boobs are a secondary sex characteristic of the female humans. I'm just reading this. As mammals feed their infants with milk produced by mammary glands, boobs consist of not just the breast tissue and pectoral muscle, but also fat deposits and glands of milk, if the female has recently produced offspring or taken hormones to mimic pregnancy. Boobs are quite possibly the most important human organ, as it's very important to the survival of wee little babies who are just so cute and precious. Hip hooray for boobs of all shapes and sizes. He's not wrong. Like, we're screwed if we haven't got him. Do you know what? I always think about that thing. If we didn't have such thing as bras, just hear me out on this one. I don't think boobs would be kind of sexualized what they are. I've always believed because we have bras, and then they kind of, obviously I know why they're there. Women have bras, obviously for structure and, you know, to keep them in. But if you didn't have them and they were just like out all the time, you know, men wouldn't be fantasizing over them. I just don't think they would. I really don't think they would. Not to say that I don't want that to happen, but I think that's just a little thought of mine. Like, will we go, ooh, boobies? Or just go, whatever. I don't wish that for that to happen because I love boobs. Oh my God, I'm going to get cancelled one day, aren't I? I'm going to have someone come, he's a misogynist. Oh my God, he's a pervert. Well, no, I'm just praising the female form. Let's leave it like that, shall we? You ain't going to hear this shit on the YouTube channel. Put it like that. You ain't hearing it on YouTube. It's only on the podcast you're hearing that. God's sake. All right, let's move into our new section, which we call Play Switch Box Erect. So Play Switch Box Erect is our new section where I look at what's been going on in the gaming world and I give my thoughts about it. And last week we didn't have much to talk about, this week I've got quite a little bit to talk about. First up, Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo. They have announced that there is a Switch 2. So the Switch successor will be revealed by April 2025. The Nintendo president, which I'm Furukawa, I can't pronounce that, I probably butchered it. He took to Nintendo's Japanese Twitter account saying, "We will make an announcement about the successor Switch within this fiscal year. It will have been over 9 years since we announced the existence of the Nintendo Switch back in March 2015. So there is a Switch 2. There is definitely a successor. What it's going to be, we don't know. If they don't go on the Switch-esque theory, that's stupid because the Switch was such a game changer. So we'll wait and see what they're going to do. But yeah, one's coming. Don't expect it in the next Direct. That's all I can say. I think they said for June, don't expect it. Go get your hopes up because it's not going to make an appearance. So we're going to get it. Just hang fire, everyone. And talking about Nintendo, they've decided to release a little game called the NES World Champion, or Nintendo World Champions, the NES edition. So back in 1990, they had the first Nintendo World Championships, and it gave the best players in the world the opportunity to face off against each other. So Nintendo's doing the same for 2024, but instead of basically having a few competitors, they're doing this for everyone, which I think is really good. And they're making what it is going to be like loads of little mini games. So it's going to have 150 mini games spread across 13 NES titles. So these could be like, how fast can you complete the first level of Mario? How fast can you beat an enemy in Kirby's Adventure? How many Oryx can you defeat in Legend of Zelda in one go? So the games that they're going to cover are Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong, Excitebike, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Metroid, Super Mario Bros. 1, 2 and 3, The Lost Levels, Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2 The Adventure of Link. So I'm so looking forward to that because I imagine it will be you play the game and upload it to the internet. So there is going to be loads of cheaters out there. You can just see it now. But I am so looking forward to this because the best of the best are going to be coming to this. We're going to get some great YouTube videos coming, and I am all for it. So what a clever little idea. And I imagine if this does well, they'll start doing the same for the SNES. I don't think they'll do the same for the N64, but I do think they'll do for a SNES version. They have to. And talking about people who are doing really shit, well, Microsoft and PlayStation have destroyed themselves recently. So Microsoft want more award-winning games like Hi-Fi Rush. However, they just fired everyone who made Hi-Fi Rush. So it's ridiculous. Their head of Xbox Game Studios, Matt Booty, made a curious comment saying, "We need smaller games that give us prestige and award." But Tango made Hi-Fi Rush and you just got rid of them. And Hi-Fi Rush did really, really well. So of course, the director of Tango, John Jonas, posted the screen grab to express his feelings. He was a little bit pissed off. I can't understand what that comment was for. So you're an idiot. Hi-Fi Rush was made by a small game company and won awards. Yet you sack them and then say, "Oh, you need smaller games that give us prestige." And what the hell are you thinking? What an absolute dick move to make. Like, why should little small independents work with you now? Why should they? If you're potentially going to sack them off and then screw them over in some of the comments, even though they've won you money and got you a load of money, which you're now giving out to other competitors. I just don't understand. I think you morons, Microsoft, when it comes to a lot of things. And Sony's exactly the same. Now, this happened just as I'd released last week's episode, so it was a bit too late. So PlayStation they were going to have this mandatory sign-in for Helldivers on the PC. So it was Helldivers 2, and basically they said, if you want to play this game, you need to have a PlayStation Network account. This became mandatory. And this didn't go very well with a lot of people, because it meant a lot of places around the world, and there was like 177 countries, didn't have PlayStation Network, they didn't have that. So they just delisted the game straight away. And I was like, oh my God, that's 177 countries you're now not listening to. And someone made a video with the Animaniacs song. Was it Yakko going like all the countries? Like Uzbekistan, Iran, Paris. And he was going through all the places that don't have this game. I was dying. I was like, that's clever. That's very, very clever. But it didn't go very well with the fans. They were pissed. So pissed. They bombarded the Steam with thousands of negative reviews. Like, literally, it was over 100,000 negative reviews. And Sony went, oh, shit. And they decided, they came out and said, "Helldivers fans, we've heard your feedback on the Helldivers 2 account linking update. The May 6 update, which would have required Steam and the PlayStation Network accounts linking for new players and for current players beginning May 13th, will be removed. We're still learning what is best for PC players, and your feedback has been invaluable. Thank you for your continued support of Helldivers 2, and we'll keep you updated on future plans." Just don't mess around with Helldivers 2. It's doing well. Leave it alone. Like, that's a AA game, which is just selling gangbusters. Just leave it alone. Stop trying to put more money into it and, like, trying to take more. Just leave it. Let it grow. Let it nurture, you stupid, stupid people. Stupid. And talking about potentially stupid, so this is what I'm a bit worried about with the movie industry. So the new Super Mario Brothers movie was the most profitable film of 2023. And its final gross, basically after you've deducted everything, was $559 million. So Illumination did very, very well. And the worry is that you're going to have all these Hollywood developers now looking at that going, ooh, that's where the money is now. Sonic's done very well, and now Mario's done really well. Let's see if we can make more of them. Like, Mario was up for, I think it was Best Picture, but it didn't win it for Best Animation. But it beat Barbie, it beat Oppenheimer, it's made the most money. So if it's doing that, everyone's going to look and they go, how can we make this better? So I know there's a Zelda film going. Who's to say more characters like Kirby might get a game, Fox McCloud? But there's the risk of oversaturation. And we've seen that with Marvel. We've seen that with DC. Just because you make a product, it's not necessarily what everyone wants. People might not want to see a film about a game of Fire Emblem characters. They may do, but they may not. Like you got with Marvel, they're making films about characters no one gives a rat's arse about. Like, no one cares about Miss Marvel. They're not into it. She-Hulk. They made the series. I know there were problems with it, but no one wants to see it. They want Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, the main people, and they're not there anymore, but they're still clinging on to the hope that it's going to happen. Yeah, gaming is fun. just don't be silly. Don't be silly with Sonic 3. Don't be silly with any future things. Like, I want to see Zelda. I want to see Sonic 3. God, I can't wait to see Sonic 3. Please don't mess that up. All right, that is the end of our Play Switch Box Direct. Let's move into our little section, which is still growing, which is called Stop Ruining Our Games. So Stop Ruining Our Games is where I kind of laugh at the stuff that's coming into video games that's making me go, stop changing shit. I don't like it. No. And this one, I did say last week I was going to have one. So for those who don't know, Tomb Raider got a remaster a few years ago, and they said they were going to leave everything, you know, from the original would be in the remaster. But that's not the case. If you play the original Tomb Raider 3, there was a pin-up poster of Lara Croft. I think it was from her first, either a second game, but there was a pin-up poster in the original Tomb Raider 3. And then when you switch to the modern one, it disappears. And I was like, ooh, why have they not put the poster in? Is it because you don't want to put a remastered pin-up poster of Lara? Ooh, we want sexy square boobed Lara. Put it in. Put a remastered version of that in, you cowards. And I was like all ready to go nuts, like, you bastards. You just scared. You're scared of having Lara Croft be sexy. But the developer, the publishers come out and said, in the recently released patch 2, we made several texture and graphical updates to the HD version. As part of these updates, the poster in Sleeping with the Fishes were inadvertently removed in the HD version of the game. This has been resolved and these textures will be restored in patch 3. So I'm kind of like, boo. But then I'm like, yay, because I was all ready to rant about this. But when I realised it was an error. Well, it could be an error. We don't know. It could be the, oh shit, we're getting backlash. Better just say it was an error and we'll put it back in. I don't know. You don't know actually what goes on behind the scenes. I just thought it was quite funny. It's like, we need boobs. We need Lara Croft did sexy stuff. I miss sexy Lara. Bring her back. But yeah. I don't know if there'll be one next week. Because again, it all depends on what I find. And what I find in media, whether it's going to piss me off or not. So we've got nothing for Sticky Nutty Ginger this week. So we'll move straight to our final Patreon show, which is called Survive or Die.
Hey, listen.
Survive or Dies, where each week we get two games franchises, two characters, two games themselves, and we have them knelt down before Mr. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is armed with Shao Kahn's hammer and dressed in Earthworm Jim's power suit. And we ask the question, which one of them should live to fight another day, and which one of them should have their brain smashed in? Now, as I were talking about a game that was on the Amiga, I decided to go old school, and I went with the Commodore 64 and the Atari. Now, I've got nothing in this race. Absolutely nothing. I really don't. I have no say in this, so I'm literally going by you guys. And we'll leave it as that, because I have never played either. I'm not that old. I'm not old enough to play them. Some people go, oh, fuck you, should have played them. No, I didn't. I've seen them in the wild, but I've never played them. So Captain N says, load of stars. Eight if you know. I don't know. It survives. So does Atari, until E.T. that is. What? What? I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means, Captain N. Who survives? So does Atari. So you're saying that... So Atari dies for a little bit? Until E.T.? Yeah, agreed. Until E.T. comes along, that's fair enough. We'll have to do that game one day, won't we? Keith Casper says, well, they're both dead already, so this is technically a revive, then die. The Commodore 64 has more quality games. Atari has more games. Atari dies... Besides, wood grain never looked good. See, that's a better answer. Now I understand. Thanks, Keith. I understand. Captain N, yours just makes no sense. Oh, God, I'm getting a rant here. From Chris, he says, the Atari what? The VCS, the 2600, the 5200, the 7800, the ST800 XE Jaguar. Come on, Danny. Atari made a lot. unless we're including the brand as a whole, but that wouldn't be fair because Commodore was a company. They not only made the Commodore 64, but the PET and the Amiga line. Regardless, Commodore both sounds too British and close to commies, and we need to kill the commies. Better dead than Redcoat. Atari, whatever, can survive. Look, I don't know the history of the Atari. That's what I was scared of, all these different numbers. What? You can educate me one day. I'm never going to have an Atari. I don't want one. So I'm never going to go looking for one. So no, I don't care. So I just went, they look like PCs. So I just went with them, okay? Leave me alone. I told you, I've got nothing in this fight. I have nothing at all. So who won? I have nothing. Literally, I've never played either. When I see those old PCs, like when I went to PAX, I was like, oh my God, Jesus. But the gaming was very different then, and we should be very grateful for where we are today. So Main Quest wanted... No, hang on. So the Commodore 64 is... Atari's... Hang on. So Commodore 65, you want that to... I'm trying to work this out in my head. So Commodore 64. It's Commodore 64. There we go. Commodore 64 surviving, and the Atari is dying. That's what I've made from... It's Captain N's fucking comment. He's confused me. I don't stop confusing me. God, the day when we can get more than six replies to this, the day I can stop getting him in there. And he's like, oh, shit. I'm only joking. So we're going to have the Atari getting its brain smashed in. And the Commodore 64 can go in to fight another day. But from the sounds of it, the Atari's got loads of brothers and sisters it can call upon. So it should be okay. So before we get into it, because we're nearly there, what have I been up to? Not much. I got a 3DS. For on the cheap, really cheap. And I managed to mod that bad boy and we've had fun with it. So it's now got all the games for the 3DS and all the games I want for the DS. So if you want to do 3DS and DS games, let me know. I've probably got it on the system. It's great. What have I been playing? I finished Phoenix Wright 1. I finished Wario Land. And I've got Dragon Quest V on the go on PlayStation 2. And Dragon Quest 6 on my mobile phone. So they're both going on at the moment. And I need to play... What's it called? Win Back. I need to play Win Back Operation for the N64. I need to try and get that done this week if I can. So that's where I'm up to. Now, we have been talking for quite a while. Before we go into the main episode, it is time to give your thoughts and give you guys a chance to talk about our game, which is Shadow of the Beast. Captain N says, beasts often have shadows. If the sun is out, and I couldn't agree more. You're such a dick. You're such a dick. He's not wrong, but he's such a dick. Oh, God. And Chris Coplin says, Captain N makes a good point about how you can't even see this game unless you squint really hard or know too much about the Turbo CD library. You did play this on the Turbo CD, right, Danny? Yes, let me just go to Anakin Skywalker. You did play this on the Turbo CD, right? Right. No, I played this on the Mega Drive because I had the Mega Drive version available to me. So I played that and I loved it. I'm not sure which version Jake played, but he did. It was good fun. I told you it was good fun. I had a real laugh about this game. Thought it was going to be an absolute nightmare, but really enjoyed it. Would play it again. Shadow of the Beast 2 scares me. And showed us the remake. That scares me as well, so don't know if I'm going to be playing that. But I have been talking for quite a while. It is now time to get into the main episode. So I'm going to play some music. And when I come back, me and Jake from the Press B to Cancel podcast are going to be talking about Shadow of the Beast, which released on the Amiga in 1989, but I played the Mega Drive version. Fuck me, I'm old. Returning once more to the show is Jake from the Press Beta Cancel podcast. How are you?
Good. Glad to be back and glad to talk about what a fantastic game that I picked, not knowing what it was. But I'm sure it's fantastic. Yeah. I'm sure you had a great time playing through this game.
I'd never heard of this game before. When you said Shadow of the Beast, I was thinking, is this like a sequel to Altered Beast? I had no idea. And you're like, oh, it's a game. You won't finish it. And I looked at it. And it takes 25 minutes to finish on YouTube. I was like, I'll fucking finish it. Of course I will. Well, give me a go.
I got to admit, my prejudices are showing here, because like, this is a game that came out on the Amiga originally. And I keep thinking everybody over in the UK and in that side of the world has had an Amiga or owned an Amiga, but I don't think you had one, right?
No, I didn't. My first console was a Mega Drive 2. Yeah. That was when I was a bit too old for the Amiga. I didn't even know what one was. I never saw one for years, so I'd no one I knew owned one. We were all too young at that stage. My cousin never owned one, so no, never saw one. Can't even remember it in the shop.
Because like for me, when I was a kid, I'd seen the Amiga for sale at like conventions and whatnot. But I mean, we could never afford one, right? It was imported over here. But when I'm like as an adult, I'm been having a lot of fun going through the Amiga library, and I saw Shadow of the Beast, and it has not one but three games. It's a franchise.
Is he?
It is. It's so
really?
It's a really, I'm not going to say popular, but it must have enough fans that it got two freaking games, a sequel. So somebody's got to like this game. So that's why I picked it.
But I did, do you know what though? I didn't mind this game. Because it's, when you get into it, right, it's, you think, oh yeah, 25 minutes, it won't take you long. Fuck me. Fuck me. Fuck me. This is hard. This is so hard.
Yeah, when I dug up on this game, there's interviews with one of the creators. It was created by two guys. This is in their words, their second game, and it's the first game they took quote unquote seriously and actually put development work into. And I can't remember his name offhand, but he said he got frustrated when other games were too easy, so he purposely wanted to make a game that was hard. So he wanted to make a difficult, hard as fuck game, and that's what he did. This game, if retro gaming has a hand and a fist, then this is the middle finger. It's the middle finger of retro. It has to be for a number of reasons.
Yeah, this really is. And you know, I started playing it and I was doing okay for a little bit, but then you realize, fuck, everything wants to hurt you, everything will kill you, and it's ridiculous. Now, before we say yes, it was an Amiga, and I played this, it was a Mega Drive port, so I played it on there. Now, there is a plot to this game. You wouldn't know there's a plot if you just play the game. You'd have no idea. You have no idea what the fuck's going on. This is the plot. I'm reading this from Wikipedia. A man named Aberon is kidnapped as a child and corrupted through magic into monstrous warrior servant for the evil beast lord Maeltoth. The creature's memory of his human life returns when he watches a man being executed, whom he later recognizes as his father. This prompts Aberon to seek revenge on Maeltoth. A long, arduous journey ensues, with Aberon forced to battle his way through hostile terrain and Maeltoth's forces. He eventually confronts one of Maeltoth's minions, a guardian creature, whose only visible part is his hand and foot. That's not lying. It's defeating not. The creature, Aberon is free from the curse, the epic shadow of the beast, and returns to a more humanoid form. That's the fucking plot. No.
Look, this is the era. It's 1989. This is the era where most of the plot was in the back of the box or in the manual, if you're
yes.
lucky. That's what it is, right? So yeah. Is it in the? There's plot in the game. I mean, kind of. There's narration a little bit, but that's more text that you read just now. That is more text than the entire game has available. That's hilarious.
It really does. And like, you watch the opening thing, the opening like, I don't know, video. Well, not even video. Like where the credits come in, and it's like Shadow of the Beast. Press start. You straight in the game. It's like, okay, right. What?
Yeah.
No options. Just you're in. Okay, what do I do? And it's a man just standing there in a field, like, okay, what do I do? What's that? And it's like, okay, most games go right, but I can go left, so I'm going to go left.
And did you? Okay.
I went left. I thought, I'm going to go, oh, fuck this, I'm going left. And what I immediately noticed was the parallax scrolling. Like, straight away, wow, okay, this game is trying to give that sense of being a projection, it's trying to give that sense of environment, and the parallax scrolling hits, and it works. It works yes. very well on the Mega Drive. I was like, okay, I can get on board with this. And I think even like Sonic and all that didn't do this shit. This was doing it, and it worked. It wasn't blown, because sometimes it could be a bit much, but I liked it. And it didn't feel jarring, I should say that. It instantly made me feel like, ooh, I'm on a little adventure. Here we go. Have a nice little happy time.
Yeah, the Amiga version had 12 layers of parallax scrolling, which is pretty insane. In the Mega Drive port, it's not quite as much, but they did a fantastic job porting the graphics and the look and feel of the game to the Genesis pretty good. Like it's definitely detailed. I love the overall look of this game, right? The opening field, and you're this purple monster thing, like hideous creature, and just the way he animates when he runs through the trees, I just thought was gorgeous. It looks really great. I love how the opening scene is just, you're in a field, but there's zeppelins flying in the background of the sky for some reason. Yeah. And that's not even covering the plot. But this is like a post-apocalyptic Earth or something where there's technology, but you're a beast. You're a monster and there's magic everywhere. It's great.
You're a beast and there's these zeppelins just like, what the fuck? Why is there a zeppelin in the air?
It's a vibe.
Explain this now.
Now, you said you went left. Did you try going right at all?
No. I don't know what happens if you go right.
It's a dead end. It's a lot of pain and it's a dead end. And it's funny because the first time I spun this game up, why wouldn't you go right? It's like Mario, you go to the right. Every freaking game platform, you always go right. And if you go right in this, it ends up being a dead end and you're wasting your time. You have to go left. And I got to say, when you start going left, the right way to play this game, the first fuck you in this game is the boulder and the giant flying bats speed onto the screen.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Your reaction time is like zero.
Yeah. It's like this boulder just comes out of nowhere. I was like, what the fuck? Who just threw that? Which dickhead just threw this boulder? Where's that come from? I was like, what? And you instantly realize with this game, you get to punch everything. You just punch.
Yeah.
And you've got to time your punch perfectly. If you do not touch your punch perfectly, you get hit. Oh boy, do you get hit.
Just trying to get to the start of the first stage, right? Just to this tree stumping. And before you get there, you have to hit like two boulders and two bats or something like that. And it's frame perfect. And you take damage more often than not. So by the time you just get to the opening of the stage, you're probably at half health. Mm-hmm. But it sure is good that this game is generous with lives and continues, right?
Oh, it'd be so great if this live, you know, it was so generous. Fuck is it not? You get 12 HP, and once that's gone, game over. And not as in game over, continue where you are. No, game over, start the fucking game again.
Done.
Jesus.
Yeah. Brutal. Doesn't matter whether you're in stage one or stage six, you die, you're done, and you start all over again. So 27 minutes to beat this fucking game. 27 minutes. But you have to do it in one go.
Yeah. One go. And it is brutal. Like you have to get into your mindset, you're going to get hit a lot. You are going to get hit. And there are points where I felt I could not escape getting hit. So there's a point where I save-stated this to fuck. I openly admit I save-stated this because I wanted to give a review for this game. And there's a point where I was like climbing a ladder and there's like this ghost woman bouncing from side to side. I feel there's no way I was going to get through that without getting hit. She's going to hit me. The bitch is going to hit me. And you can get health. There are health pickups throughout the game. They are like godsends. And they refill your health. You can see one and it's like fully to 12. There are ones where you could punch like a block and there's like a 2 HP up. Anytime you can get health up in this game is an absolute godsend. Because you will lose health so quickly. You can just lose health like bang, it's gone. Like what the fuck? What's just happened? And everything's gone. And you may as well start again.
Well, like the first opening of that, you enter this tree stump and you go into the level. The very first thing, when the screen changes and you come down these stairs and you move to the right, what happens? Fireball up your ass. Just for no reason. Yep. It's the only time game that there's a fireball. Just the one time.
Yeah. There's so many moments, like you'll just all of a sudden something will fly in. You had no idea it was coming. You had no time to prepare for it. And if you got to dodge it, duck, jump, or be frame perfect with your punch. Yeah. And that's where it's like, holy shit. You have to be so... You cannot be one frame out with your... And it's got to be the perfect distance as well. Like, it's not like if your fist goes out and it's missed the frame and they'll run into the fist. No, that doesn't count. It's got to be literally the point of your fist extends... that and has got to make that connection. Otherwise, nope, the game doesn't count it and you get hit. And it's like, fuck, you have to get that timing so spot on or you get hit. And it's like, there's no combo. It's just, it's a just punch, one hit. Punch, yep. Punch, punch, one hit. So there's not like a Streets of Rage where you go, no, it's punch, punch, punch. And when you are on so limited health, fuck. Well,
it's brutal because there's sequences where you have like three or four enemies come at you in a row, and they only take one hit to die. But if you mess up that timing and you don't hit the punch with the first one correctly, you're going to get hit three, four times in a row. And it really piles on you. Like, it's not, the fights are not difficult, but if you miss that window, you're going to take a hit. And it's funny because...
You are.
It is a bit different from the Amiga version in that the Amiga version is a little bit slower. It's about 10 to 15% slower. And it is noticeable if you play it. But you know what it is, though? So Reflections made this on the Amiga originally. And I guess Psygnosis must have farmed out the ports to other companies. And I guess whoever did the port for the Genesis didn't account for the difference between PAL and NTSC. And I think that's why they say the Genesis version is faster than the Amiga version. Add in a lower resolution as well, and it just... There's a reason why it feels like those boulders and bats flying to the screen so quickly. I think it's because of that. And it's more difficult on an already difficult game.
Yeah, it's exactly what you need. It's exactly what you need when you're trying to have a shit. Because this became one of my poop games. Yep. I'm like trying to have a nice, stressful, nice, relaxing poop. This was not a nice, relaxing poop. This was possibly one of the most stressful poops I'd ever had in my life. Like, I got to the tree, because you go left from the main platform, from the main field, and you go left down a tree. I could get to the stage of getting throughout that without getting hit. A few practices. Like, okay, yeah, I've done this. Here we go. He goes down into the tree. And I was like, this isn't too bad. Dodge the first fireball. The enemies are okay. They're coming at okay speed. I'm working this shit out. And then the first power-up, you should say, you find like a Metroid-like ball in a Chozo statue. I was like, you fucking ripped that off. You've ripped off, or someone's ripped off something, because that is a Chozo statue.
Yeah.
And get a punch power.
But to get, before you even get that power-up, imagine if Samus had to shoot that punch ball, that ball, a dozen times before she could pick up the power-up.
Right? And it bounced.
You have to punch this ball 12 times or so and dodge a flaming fireball every time you want to hit it. It's crazy.
It's so that as you're trying to punch it, it's bouncing in the air, so you can only maybe get one hit at a time. And every few, like 2 seconds, a flamethrower comes out of the Chozo statue, so you have to duck. I was like, wow, that went up a notch. Jesus.
Yeah. And the best part?
You get the punch power. Yeah. You get the punch power. And you can punch things like, it's like your gun. Punch gun, we should call it.
Well, it's like a Hadouken from Street Fighter. You basically get a fireball. Yeah, you can shoot a wave of energy or whatever.
Fireball.
But it's got one downside, I guess, to it.
Oh, fuck. You realize this is the one downside, right? You think, yeah, I'll take on the fucking world. Yeah, you can take on the world. And then you realize it runs out quickly. And you're like, oh, not through usage, through time. You get this thing for like, I don't know, a minute, if best.
You know what it is?
How long do you get it for?
The first thing you kill, it goes away. That's what it is. It took me a few tries to figure out what the fuck it was doing. But yes, you get this great, amazing power of range. But the moment you kill something, it goes away.
Is that what it is? Because as you go past the Chozo statue, you pass this weird little device. I should say, you're like, what's that? The game doesn't tell you what it is. It's just like, okay, it's like a weather vane sort of thing. I was like, okay, I just walk past that. And eventually, I got my punch power, lost it straight away. I was like, well, that was pointless. And then carried on, and then went to this long stretch of the world, and it was this skeleton boss. Basically, I call it skeleton boss on a parade float. And I was like, right, come on, you fucker. Let's take it on. And I go to punch it. And literally, I don't even punch it, and it's made contact with me. Dead. Yeah. Like, what? Instant. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah. That's this game in a nutshell. Like, bosses, instant death. It's hilarious. And it's a screen-filling, massive-looking boss. It actually is a decent design, but you're boxed in. And if you don't have the fireball, a power-up, you have no hope in hell of beating this thing. It moves too quickly.
No, you can't do it.
Takes too many hits. And it's just, I don't even think it's possible without the fireball.
No, you can't. You can't do it without the fireball. So this comes back to, oh, you lost the fireball? Oh, restart the game. Because yeah. You can't get it again. It's like, what? Restart the game? Yeah, restart the game. We want you to restart the game. Because what you need to do is get the bouncing power-up ball bollocks and then go right to the weather vane, touch the weather vane. That takes you to the boss. It's like, oh, well, that would have been handy to know. And then yeah. You can use your fireball Hadouken on the boss and he's piss easy. But if you don't do that, you can't progress. It's over. Simple. I was like, wow. And that's this game.
It bullshit. Tell you anything.
Bullshit.
It tells you none of
bullshit.
This.
Go. No, it is bullshit. It's that moonlight thing of random bullshit. Go. I'm like, fine. And when you beat bosses, though, I do like it because they become like sparkly things. Like, whee! He's like, oh, that's quite nice. Sparkly.
The effects thing. Are nice. And in fact, the teleport device, which it's only used, there's only one of these in the game. The entire game only has
correct
one thing. But when you touch it, it kind of does a shimmery effect on the screen, which that wasn't even in the Amiga version. So it's nice that the Genesis version of all of them has a nice little effect. But it's only used once. And that's this game. Yeah. Everything is used once, right? One fireball with the ass at the beginning of the level, one teleporter, yeah. Like one fireball power up. You never see the same thing twice. it's such a weird game, right? But that could be an advantage, though, because, like, I mean, a lot of the enemies in this game are also pretty unique, right? Like, you see a snail enemy in one part of the first stage. You never see a snail ever again, just that one part.
No.
There's a lot of unique sprites in this game.
And I will say that, like, they don't... I've looked at the sprite work. I don't know why I looked at the sprite work, but I did. There is a lot of enemies in here, and yet they don't repeat them, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
So there's a section straight after the this is after the skeleton float. You go to, you have to dodge eyeballs. I was like, yeah. Right, and these eyeballs are going up and down, and you just have to, you can't hit them. You just have to go in, like, when it's up, you dodge and then just go slowly across. Although those hitboxes are very questionable. I was like, okay. Well, but you get to the left.
It's great, though, as you're dodging those eyeballs, as every second eyeball, to make it a little bit more difficult, because this game needs more challenge. They throw a flying enemy at you just to make
they
it
do.
Harder. Yeah.
And from different directions as well. It's like, nice, thank you. I appreciate that. And then when you get to the end, you find this, like, weird statue. And it's, like, beautifully animated. I was like, wow, that's a cool statue. And it's got, like, a key. And I was like, okay, I'll take that. Take the key. I don't know what I need it for, but I'll take it off your hands. You're not explaining this to me. You go back, and you basically keep going. And eventually you get outside. And I with practice, I could get outside. I could do that first bit of the game to the first outside section or second outside section without getting hit.
That's like, pretty good. Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, so I've got this. Because I could just basically load the game up straight away, and I poop a lot at work. It's handy. It works. Not for medical use. Just disappear and poop. I could practice this quite quickly. And you literally, you could be done that section in like less than 10 minutes. It's like, okay, right. Okay, I've got this now. So it's easy to repeat. And you get outside, you see the parallax scrolling, and then it's like, holy shit, everything is coming from me at all directions. And you're just trying to have this nice little time as you're bobbing along to the music going, doo, 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 doo. It's like, okay, I'm having a little adventure here. And you, come on, fucker, poof, poof. And it, everything is coming at you. Even the fucking floor is coming at you.
Well, there's claws, there's spikes, there's a random pattern of eyeballs fluxing in and out of reality in front of you in parts. Just everything is flying.
Yeah,
and a lot of these enemies,
cool.
though, you only see them once. This is the first time you see it. It's a second and it's gone. But they definitely like to damage you on the way as you run past them. It's sequence, though. Like, the music in this game is epic. The music is fantastic. Psychnosis games tend to always have jamming music, right?
It's ace. I love the music. I thought it was great. Like, honestly, with the parallax scrolling and the way he moves, it's like he's literally walking around going, come on, I'll fucking fight anything. Come on, you little pricks. And I loved it. I thought this is great. But you are right. Some of the enemies you never see again. Like, there's a stage where these hands are coming from the floor. These thin hands. Like, what the fuck? And then eventually you go a little bit further. Then it's huge motherfucking hands. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then the eyeballs, which you do see. Like they come in and out of reality. I like that because, it's more trying to dodge things. You then you have to find a torch. You see a torch. You don't know you can pick this torch up. You need to pick that torch up. Or again, you're fucked.
And the only time you need a torch in the entire game, just that one time. It's never used. That mechanic
just
is never used
time.
More than once.
Nope. Nope. Never. Yeah. And fuck, I'm gonna drink. I'm getting so angry.
It's so that whole sequence, though, is so great, though. Just the running, the music, the vibe, the animations of the character.
Loved it
feels really great. I just wish that it was possible to dodge things and not get hit and die in 5 seconds running through all these things. Like, there just doesn't feel like you have enough control over your character to not get hit. And there's lots of health, you said before. Like, you punch
there's
over stones
bits,
and you get, like, two health here, two health there. But the whole sequence still feels like unavoidable damage, and it kind of feels frustrating.
Yeah, that's when it gets like okay, I it's hard as fuck. I enjoyed it. I actually really enjoyed the outside bits. And this is the thing you said to me, oh yeah, you're not going to like it, you're not going to complete it. And I disagree now on reflection, because I like this game as hard as it is. And maybe I'll disagree. I disagree with myself if it didn't have save states. Because if it didn't have save states, this would be almighty hell. Yeah. And I'd be like, I wouldn't have even got past. I would have got to the castle. I do think I would have got to the castle, but that is where my journey would have ended. Because the castle is, holy shit, fuck off. Just get fucked. And the first bit was the electric bombs. That can absolute suck a dick. If you like sucking dicks, fine, but this thing can suck an absolute cock. And this little fighter jet is dropping these electric bombs, these little bombs that when they hit the deck, electric currents come out. And if that's not bad enough, which you can dodge them, all of a sudden, then something else is flying at you. I said, oh, for fuck's sake.
I think there's
like a bee
or something that flies by and drops a bunch of
firebombs
on you for some reason. And again, only once in the entire game. It's not like you can learn this creature. Just once, one sequence. And I just take the damage and keep going. But if you had no health, you're fucked. And then what happens when you die?
Yeah.
Start all over again. And that's where it becomes difficult. Well, like you had mentioned, you might not like this game at all if not for save states. And I think that's fair, because people look at games like Battletoads, for example. Battletoads, people shit on that game all the time because it's hard. But what if Battletoads had infinite continues? Suddenly that game would probably be remembered a lot more fondly. Like Ghouls and Ghosts on Nintendo, right? Infinite continues.
Yeah.
That game is revered.
Correct.
People love that game, but it's infinite continues. You take that away, people would shit all over Ghouls and Ghosts. And I think Shadow of the Beast is a game that would totally benefit from, if not infinite continues, at least three. Like, just at least give me some hope, right? Like, give me more than one fucking life. And I think it's like, in a modern time with save states, it makes that game good. But in 89 without any of this, forget it.
We've got problems, because I got into the castle and I had two health left. Now, even with save states, and I had a guide, I was watching the YouTube guide to try and think, how the fuck am I doing this? If there's this section where there's electric bombs and the things flying at you, if I just got through that section, there was a full health pack. Because there's only three of these in the game. There was a full health pack, and I was like, okay, I'll be fine then. Even with save states, even after half an hour, 40 minutes, I could not get through this corridor without getting hit more than twice. I was like, you can get fucked. Absolutely. I'm save stating this. Every bomb, I'm save stating this. And then I just couldn't do it. And again, if you'd had that infinite continues where, okay, I've died, but at the start of the level, I get 12 HP again. Great. I would have had no problem, would have flew through that. And because when you get through that section, you get your health back here. Great. Okay, I'll carry on. Then you've got crossbow fighters that are hiding in the fucking ground. Those little dwarf shits could piss off. Because they appear out of nowhere. It's like, hey, poof. Oh, you little shits. You little fucking shits. Like the first like humanoid creatures I've kind of fought, human people have found. And then this is where the game gets what the absolute dog fuck. Because you get your next power up. And it's a gun.
Yeah, it's a gun.
What?
Like what the hell
it's
is
an
that?
Actual
you
gun?
Get a laser gun. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Why am I getting a laser? Do we have the technology for laser guns? But apparently we do. And how do you then go ahead? Well, the game becomes a breeze for a little bit because everything dies in one. You have no problem with the laser gun, and you feel like an absolute god. It's easy then. You're on easy street for a portion, because then you come across the next boss. The dragon. The three-headed dragon. This can get fucked.
With those bosses, and that's where it becomes with the bosses, you can see where conceivably they designed it, where there's a pattern of attacks. I think the dragon's the one with the spouts of flame that you could possibly maybe think about dodging and memorizing the pattern. But in practice, you're just better off running up to it and just face tanking it and taking your hits and hope you have enough health to outlast it. And that's the game's bosses going forward. Yes, there might be a pattern, but good luck trying to pull it off. You just don't have the degree of control. Again, it's the degree of control is lacking, and you just sit there and punch it or shoot it until it dies, and that's what it is.
Yes, it definitely is this dragon one, because the dragon boss has three heads. Yep. One is facing, one shoots down, one shoots diagonally across, and one shoots to the left. So imagine they all, like a clock face, right? You are meant to stand in the middle of the clock face, where you've got a dragon shooting at you from, say, 12 o'clock, between 1 and 2 and 3. But if you want to hurt it, you need to shoot from right. You have to go right up to 3, shoot it to past 3, stand there long enough for the bullet to hit its belly, which is like past 3 onto the next clock, and then run. That's the only way. You can't shoot and then run away, because then the game doesn't register the bullet, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. And yeah, I sat there and tried to work out a pattern. All three of them go by their own thing. And the timing to try and run in, shoot, wait at like a second, then run back, it's non-existent. You are right. You are better off just running in and go pew, 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 and hope to God you don't die.
And just, make sure you have enough health to get through the encounter. That's all it is. Like, I give them respect for trying to design a cool boss encounter, because I always found the best boss encounters in gaming are the ones with patterns that if you memorize, you can kind of feel like a god just dodging and moving around. But this is not that kind of game. It really isn't. This is not Contra. No. This is not Shantae or any of those games. There's boss patterns. It doesn't help you. You just gotta roll up and throw those punches and just hope you survive. And that's kind of disappointing. I was just trying to look up real quick. I know, like, I played the Japanese version of this on the Mega Drive as well as the North American version, and there are some differences. And I was looking to see if the health potions were different. I think in the Japanese version, the health potions give you more health. I believe that's what it is.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Because that's
Japanese complain at us.
Well, I wonder why. Maybe they saw the release in North America and maybe they saw earlier reviews and they said, you know what, we'll make it easier for the Japanese audience. But it has an option screen too in the Japanese version that lets you up the health to 18 instead of the default 12.
You bastards.
I know. You still only have one life. they won't change
but
that.
18
is a big difference.
18 health, that is. Because if you think about it, those H-up things, those full life things, that's essentially another 18 health.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not 18. It's so much more extra. Essentially, it's an extra 18 hearts, or whatever you want to call it. 18 bits of health compared to the Mega Drive's one. That makes such a difference. That extra 6 would have got me through so many different areas.
Yeah.
Bastards. And again, I would have just boss rushed and had fun, because that's the only way you're doing this. And again, I watched the walkthrough and he does it with timing. I was like, I hate you. I just hate you. Like, I want to find who does that walkthrough and just slap them in the face and stop making me look like a shit gamer because you can do it. I was like,
yeah, but that's
stupid.
That's speedrunners, though, right? I mean, like, speedrunners play these games for thousands of hours. I mean, most people could learn a musical instrument in that time that they mastered Shadow of the Beast. So, I mean, hey, good on them. But I could never do it. This game would take me, if I had to play it slow and careful to beat this game in the one go as is intended, it would take me like 3 hours. I just don't have the patience.
No. Do you know what, though? I will say, if I met a woman at a bar, if I was single, okay, and I stress I'm not single, but if I met a woman at a bar and she said to me, well, I mastered the cello for 3 hours. I spent hours mastering the cello to the best of its ability. I'd be like, okay, cool. Do you want to come back and hear it? Okay, fine. We said, I mastered Shadow of the Beast on the Mega Drive. We're like, fuck, let's just go to the toilet now. Jesus,
that's
you've got me. that bitch a keeper. She got skills.
it's something else. But I love how you're saying you get a gun, and then the sequence immediately afterwards, it's also quite surprising.
Yes.
They changed
genres. Yes,
that's
what I was about to say, yeah.
It's a fucking shmup. Like, why? Why is it a shmup? Like, Shadow the Beast is now a shooter. Like, out of nowhere.
He goes to shoot it. You get a jetpack. It's like, what the fuck? Why are you getting a jetpack? What?
Yep. And like a full on jetpack, no helmet, rocketeer flying through this thing. And it's just, it's so weird. Just the enemies flying on the screen. I think you have more eyeballs in this area. And you get a boss that would feel right at home in R-Type or something along those lines, or Gradius. It just, it's wild.
Yeah, and you have to dodge missiles. I was like, right, we really have gone up in technology here. It's stupid. I actually didn't... The jetpack bit is actually easy in comparison.
Yes.
It's a lot... apart from the boss, everything else in that level is very doable because you have the ability to shoot things, which makes it a lot easier, and you can get health as you go through. But then you come against the boss, and this was the perfect example of just running it at its state, get under its, like... Let's say it's like a it's got a U-shaped mouth, a big U-shaped mouth, and in the middle it's got like a little, I don't know, penis. So the game is to get in between the penis, the upper bit of the penis and the U-bit, and then just sit there and fire as fucking fast as you can. That's the plan. There's no other, just do that and you win.
Imagine if that's how it worked in like Independence Day or some other movies, where it's just forget about have a crafty plan or plot or way to dodge enemy. No, you just take your ship right up to the enemy alien and just sit there and wail on the weapons until it dies and hope you don't die.
Yeah, That is how you do that. And then as soon as you've done it, right, you then turn up, you're outside again. I was like, what? And you've lost the gun? It's like, what? Yes. Why have I lost the gun? Where's the gun?
Doesn't work in sunlight. It's a vampiric gun. It just doesn't work that way. Maybe it ran out of ammo.
So you run out of ammo. It's like, I lost it. I put it with the rocket ship. And you have to do another Parallax Gaming thing again outside. And you're like, okay, fuck it. I'll just fight this in a fist. And it's similar. Similar to what you faced, you know, raw sort of random bullshit go. And you eventually get to the end, right? And this is so fucking random. Where you come to what seems like a triceratops, like a statue of a triceratops on the right-hand side, and you have to punch the triceratops. But as that's going on, you have a big man who is... All you can see is him throw a club at you and his fist. And that's it. You dodge them while punching the triceratops, but apparently punching the triceratops kills the big man... And then somehow relieves you from being a shadow of the beast.
That's not a triceratops. Do you know what that is?
What is it?
That's a giant's foot. That's his toenail. That's the end boss. Yeah. You're fighting a giant, and all you can see is his big toe. I'm telling you right now, you look at the video footage, it's a toe, and his only attack is to try and club you. And every port of the game, it's the same thing except for one. But it's always a giant, and you're just wailing on his big toe. That is the final boss of Shadow of the Beast, a toe. I'm not kidding.
I thought it was a triceratops.
No. It's a guy with a severe case of foot fungus. Got to get him some gold bond powder or something. It's awful, but it's a foot. And it's the funniest final boss in a game, especially of this game, where you're fighting dragons and creatures and Cthulhu-like creatures and monsters. And the final boss is just a giant foot. It's wild.
That is wild. But honestly, you look at that, and in your panic, you tell me that doesn't look like a triceratops.
I did not see the dinosaur. I just see a really ugly toenail and foot fungus. That's what I saw immediately.
I thought the toenail was hit the horn.
Oh, okay.
That makes so much more sense now. It makes more sense. Because I was wondering, why the fuck am I just fighting this fist in a club? Yeah. I have no idea, in a triceratops. Well, I feel like a dickhead.
It's hilarious. And I love how it's so anticlimactic. You beat this giant toe, and it gives you like two lines of text. Congratulations, you've freed yourself from the shadow of the beast. And you're like, okay, the game over. Yeah. That's it. That's all you get.
That's all you get. You finished it. And I've actually put a note. How does beating the Triceratops free me from the shadow of the beast?
Making it a toe does not make that any more clear, like at all.
No, it doesn't.
Well, because like the story from the manual, the wiki says something about an evil wizard stealing you from birth and all this crap like that. But you don't see a wizard in the entire game. Like, unless the giant is the wizard, maybe. But then why, if he's a giant, why the hell does he need you to carry things as beast of burden? Why does he need you as enslaved creature when he's 10
cores tall? I don't think he is. I think he's just the giants. I think he's one of his minions. Because, well, maybe, is this a second and third game? Did something happen in those games? Did the wizard make an appearance then?
So, I only tried them briefly, because as hard as the first game is, the second and third game feel even worse. In the second game, you're not cursed, but you're like a caveman looking kind of dude. And you have, for some reason, have like a throwing star on a chain. That's your character. And there's a little bit more of a platformy element to it. The third game, you're fully freed from the curse, and you have clothes. You're actually wearing a little fedora, like straight out of Indiana Jones. No shirt, though, but you have pants and a hat. And again, they double down on the ninja star as a weapon for some reason. There's still a story with an evil wizard, but I think he's dead. But, I mean, this game was never strong on plot. Like, I'll be honest with you. It's not why you play this game. It's not for the plot. And I think after the first game...
It's not why you play this.
The first game had this neat, like... I'm not going to call it story, but or world building, but I like the post-apocalyptic Earth. I like how there's some technology there for some reason and a lot of fantasy elements. I think it's cool and it works. But when you look at the second and third game, they kind of move it more into the post-apocalyptic Fallout-style setting, and there's a little bit too much technology in the third game. But again, I did not play either one of them very long. I think it lasted like 10, 15 minutes and I gave up. I had my fun with the first game. I don't think I want to play the franchise.
No, I don't think the franchise or the remake is going to be one that's going to be hitting me anytime soon. But you are right there in like some of the design. I thought the game looked great. I loved the world I was exploring. Bear in mind, this is early Sega Genesis. This is not like Sonic 3 Ristar level. You're Ristar right at the end of the console, which looked ridiculous. This is very early on, but I still thought the world looked great. Like, the environments I was going in felt what they should be. Like, some of the bits in the first section down the tree I thought looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
And some of the artwork they did was gorgeous. The Paradox scrolling was great, even with the random, you know, zeppelins just flying. Fine, whatever. The enemy designs I thought looked really good. And again, you barely see them again. Like, there's maybe one or two you might see twice. But I liked it. Because of the element of, you can have your perfect run gone in an instant, that would piss you off so much. Because you could be near the end of the game and then all of a sudden, because you get like your hitbox, so you have no invincibility frames, you could just lose everything in a split second. And that would, oh God, that would hurt me to my core so much. And that would... Because the fact that you can just die so easily would take away from your enjoyment, and you probably wouldn't give a shit about the environments. But because I had that time to save scum, I could actually take it all in and relax and breathe a little bit.
Right.
But I think because the game has such shitty hitboxes, like, that's one thing I'll say about Dark Souls. Like, as much as I love the Dark Souls games, I love them all, but their hitboxes are fair, their timing is fair, their patterns are fair, and if you lose, it isn't the game's fault, it is your fault. You lost because you did something wrong. But in this game, I feel like you could definitely point towards the game and go, oi, oi, no, you fucked me over there. I feel you really can do that with this.
Yeah, not even the opportunity to respond because the controls are not there, right? Just the response time is not given to you. If they gave you 2 frames to respond instead of 0, maybe there'd be a different case. But like you said it, this is early Genesis. I mean, even on the Amiga, it was 89, so it's early Amiga as well. But for the Genesis, you're stacking this game up against games like Altered Beast or Ghouls and Ghosts or Forgotten Worlds. Compared to those, this game looks fantastic. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah,
and the soundtrack, I think, is fantastic and is great to listen to. The only negative, I think, at the time would be the difficulty because you don't have passwords or continues or even an extra life, right? If you had 3 lives, I think this game would be a hell of a lot better for its time.
100%. I think this game would have done so much well, so much more. And when you think of, because I've been doing recent some digging about Sonic the Hedgehog 1 for the YouTube channel.
Right.
And at that time, like Sega, the Genesis was failing, the Mega Drive's failing against the NES. The NES is kicking its ass. Mm-hmm. And in Japan, it's getting its ass kicked by the Turbo, the 32 Turbo, whatever it's freaking called.
TurboGrafx,
that was kicking its ass. Mm-hmm. the TurboGrafx was kicking in Japan, and it was the NES in America. And you wonder that this game could have been a really good thing to put it against the NES had it had the extra lives. But people would have been put off this game straight away and said, why would you play that game? It's so bloody hard. Just go play Mario instead. You'll have a better time playing Mario 3. Much better time.
I think the difference was for Sega at the time, they were really focused on bringing arcade games ported to home.
Mm.
The problem is a lot of arcade games are tough as hell on purpose. They're trying to suck quarters out of your wallet, right? To bring that experience at home is not always the best move. Nintendo, NES especially, was pretty famous for taking arcade games and remaking them from the ground up to be better on console, right? You look at Ninja Gaiden on NES versus the arcade, completely different games. Ghouls and Ghosts, they added Infinite Continues, and it's a bit different. A lot of arcade games were purposely changed by Nintendo, or Nintendo mandated, hey, you need to change your game to make it better for our console, but use the same theme. That's what Sega didn't do. And then I think Sega had to realize they have to make new games meant for home console, and they have to be more than an arcade port, I think is the problem they had. So that's a bit different.
I think that's
if you want another example of this, actually, you can play it too. There's a prototype ROM for Shadow of the Beast being brought to the Super Nintendo. And they even called it Super Shadow of the Beast. Oh, yeah. Super Shadow of the Beast. I'll share a link with you for a YouTube video. Super Shadow of the Beast. And it is this game, but they've changed it some to make it feel more at home in the Nintendo system. They brighten the graphics. The music is there, but it feels like it's a friendlier, happier version of the music, if that's possible. It's bizarre.
Oh, as if you fucking need that. As if you need happier music.
Yeah, to make it a little more cheerful and bright. There's the enemies are shrunken down a little bit smaller. Like, it feels like they are taking elements of the game, but trying to make it the Nintendo version of it. And I find that hilarious. It's not... The game is there. You can beat it. I don't know if everything is there, but it's definitely beatable in about the same time. But they definitely changed things for that port. And I find that hilarious that Nintendo does the Nintendo thing, where they have to take something and they have to change it.
Yeah, they have to make it friendly. Yeah. Make it kid-friendly, because this game was obviously obscene. There's nothing obscene. It's just, it's like it's if you're taking an acid trip. That's what the enemies can be best described. The eyeballs, for example, that's a pure acid trip.
And if you know what, too, is the Genesis version, the American version, or North American version, and the Europe version are actually censored compared to the Amiga version.
Are they?
Yeah, quite a bit. If you play the Japanese Mega Drive version, the graphics are different. Not radically, but there's definitely change in colors. Some enemies' sprites have more than one color, for example, right? And also, there's blood and gore everywhere. Like, they kept the gore level. Oh yeah, play the Japanese Genesis ROM, and it's totally different. So it's also, I swear, it's easier. I swear, you get more health or something. The pattern of some of the enemies has been changed. Like, you know, right in the beginning, the tree level, for example. Right in the get-go, after the fireball hits you when you're walking in, there's like a wood bridge that you cross. I believe in the North American version, there's like a wooden tendril that comes down from the ceiling, just, you know, as you do, and hits you. Mm-hmm. It's in an easier spot in the Japanese version to avoid. So they do stuff like that with the enemy placements. So definitely play the Japanese version. Yeah, uncensored and easier.
You should have made me... Why did you make me play the Japanese version? You thought, no, I'm going to make your shit even more uncomfortable. Thanks for that. Appreciate that.
Gotta appreciate the classics as we would have played them, right? You wouldn't have played the Japanese version.
Could you imagine if you got this game for Christmas, though? And that was your game for the year. Oh my god, I think I'd go off video games for life.
Gosh, 89. What would I have gotten from Nintendo in 89? I think DuckTales was coming out in 89. Chip and Dale.
Yes, DuckTales!
Mario 2. You imagine your neighbor getting Mario 2 and you got Shadow of the Beast for the Genesis?
Yeah, they're like, do you want to play? Yeah. Oh, we're dead. How long was that? 20 seconds.
Like, I love the Genesis. I grew up with it. I had the Genesis. I didn't have a SNES until I was much older. So I do like the Genesis, but there's a lot of games in that system that were not great. Like, I don't know if you ever played Green Dog before. That's another, like, Shadow of the Beast or Chuck and the Forever Man. These are games that are on the system that sold tens of thousands of copies to somebody. But they're all games where if I played them as a kid, I probably would not have been happy. If I had spent birthday money on Shadow of the Beast, I would have been pissed off.
I would have been devoured. And you mentioned those other ones, like Green Dog. Well, look, if we're going to 500, 600 episodes and never stopping to do this podcast, one day we will do Green Dog. Like, for God's sake, I joked, if this podcast gets to episode 300, I said I'd do Flicky.
I've never played Flicky.
When they put Flicky, I've never played Flicky, but when they released it, I was like, you know, on Nintendo Switch Online, I was like, who the fuck gives a shit about Flicky?
Well,
there are better games than Flicky. And I said, if this show gets to 300, I'll do Flicky. I'll do it.
The Flicky community is outraged until you do a proper episode on them. We gotta break down the history and lore of Flicky.
We will do a full deep dive. If episode 300, we're less than 200, we're over 100 episodes, we're a third in, right? If we, in 4 years' time, if we're still here, which I hope we are, we will do episode 300, we'll be fucking Flicky. That's going to bite me in the arse. I just know it is. I just know.
That's the thing, like, cause I know you have a handheld, I think, for emulation. I have similar as well, where I have 10,000 games in the damn thing. And there are so many games for these systems. So many. And you try and find the ones that are good. I mean, I don't want to call Shadow of the Beast a hidden gem, but it is certainly not the worst game on the Genesis. But it's definitely one that can get overlooked pretty easily. There's definitely worse, though.
Oh, and we will have them. We will have them all to play at some point. And that's the thing with this podcast. We don't just play good ones. Because mostly you've been on the show. You've done Earthworm Jim and you've done Link's Awakening. Great games. So we're always going to... I always try to say to guests, look, at some point, you're going to get something shit. There's always something shit. We did Power Rangers, for fuck's sake. The movie on the Genesis. That is a shit game. That is shite.
Okay, because like Power Rangers on the SNES, a buddy of mine speedruns that game, and I played the SNES one. It's actually pretty good, but I have not played the Power Rangers the movie on Genesis. That one I did not try, but the SNES game is pretty decent.
Well, you can have the SNES game. No one's called the SNES version. You can fucking have that. That's yours. Wow. So, that's how we do it. You want
it's
that?
It's a beat 'em up. It's pretty decent. It's not bad. Yeah.
Well, the Mega Drive version's a beat 'em up, and it's dog shit. It's absolutely... I literally played it with Raging Demon. I was on the train on the way to the cricket, and after 25 minutes, I went, finished it, utter shite. And he texted me, he said, yep, yeah, agreed, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this episode? We did it, and it was actually a good, fun episode to record, but we did it, and it's a shit game. But you always get... With it, the good, there is always the shit. And that's the best way of looking at these things. So... Again, with this game, had it had, and I summarize, if this had a continue system or it had a life system, this would have been a far, far better game. I had that because I had save states.
Right.
But 100%. Without that, it's hard as fucking balls, and I would have been, as you said, so pissed off if I got this and spent my money on it or got it for Christmas. It would have been horrific. Because I think... if it had that, you could have appreciated the good things about this game. The enemy, the amount of range of different enemies, the way the game works, the parallaxing, the music, the artwork. I think they are all great. The Triceratops, that's not a Triceratops, it's a giant's toe.
It's a toe.
It's a toe. I'm going to get fucking ripped. Anyone's going to look at that and go, you fucking dickhead. But there are so many good elements I just think are overshadowed by difficulty. I think. Although, again, it's so random we get a jetpack, but I don't give a shit. It was good fun. I love the jetpack, so I'm not criticizing it for that. It was fun. But yeah, I could rant circles, but have you got much else you want to bring to the table with this game?
No, although I do find it fun to look at some of the ports of this game. There was a C64 port, which not so great, but there's a Super Shadow of the Beast on SNES, which is fun to play and see the differences with it and the graphical changes, the different music, and how the tone changes when you alter the music. But there's also a port on the Sega Master System, which I don't know if you had a chance to play.
Is there?
Yeah. Now, look, the music is bad in it. Really, really, really bad. And I'm not going to say it's a good port, but it's the same overall theme of Shadow of the Beast, but they change things. Instead of just automatically using keys and potions, there's a menu system in the game. You have to pop up a menu to use a key. And there's points where you have to pop up the menu to pop a potion that gives you things like super jump. So it's the same overall levels, but they tweak the levels to make them a little bit different in spots that requires you to use items. They're kind of leaning into the puzzle platformer side of the franchise. Because in the sequels, there's more of a puzzle platformer type of vibe to it, and they're trying to bring that in the Master System version. So it's worth playing the Master System versions for that. It's still... The music is awful. It's hard to listen to, but it's neat that they tried to do something different for the Master System of all things.
Hey, I'm looking at the Master System game. Oh my god, it looks dreadful. Oh my god, the box art's hilarious though. It's just... That's awesome. The box art is it this purple beast thing with a gun in its hand shooting? I was like, that's awesome. That's superb.
From the one stage where you have a laser gun, the entire game. Yeah.
That's awesome. Like, what's the Mega Drive version? What was the Mega Drive? What did that look like? Mega Drive. What's that? But yeah, that box art, sweet. It makes no fucking sense.
But I think from what I understand, the guy who did the box art for the Genesis version or the Amiga version also did album covers, if I'm not wrong. So one of my co-hosts.
Really? Yeah, that doesn't... That makes more sense. When you look at Shadow of the Beast, you have no idea what's going on. Shadow of the Beast 2 looks like what it should do. Shadow of the Beast, it looks sweet, but you have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Not a clue. It's just these two creatures. What? Okay. Fine. You do you. Oh, fucking ridiculous. Oh God, this is going to hurt my face. All right, okay. If you're going to score this out of 10... Do you know what's stupid, right? We've been going for 50 minutes. The game can be finished in 25.
Well, I mean, when we talk about a bad game, more than it takes you to play it. But again, when you and I are playing without cheats, it's certainly not a 27-minute game.
No.
I'm not going to say, like I said, when I came into this idea, this episode, I first started playing it, I did not like it. But once I played it more and more, maybe it's that, I don't know, Survivor syndrome?
Syndrome? Stockholm syndrome.
But I start to enjoy it more. But I do love the graphics. I do love the music. And I think it's at least a 6.5 out of 10. I think not quite a 7, but I think a 6.5 is fair for this game. If it had extra lives or passwords, continues, I think it would be easily a 7.5, but it doesn't. So I think it's a 6.5.
See, I'm going to give it a 6. However, that's with using it as save states. That's with using it as save states. If I didn't have save states, I have to give it like a 3, only because you could miss out on so much of this game, which is fun. Like, you may never know there's a jetpack level because you may never get there, which is such a shame. And to miss out on a jetpack level, which is so much fun, and be hidden behind this difficulty wall, that sucks ass. Like, so much, and I'd be gutted if I missed out on that. And so that's why I give it so low, but using it as a save state machine, and if it had, I give it a 6.5. Yeah, 6.5, because I liked how it looked. I like the music. I like the parallax scrolling. I like the world building it was trying to do. Just made no fucking sense, but I did like it. It was for the time, you know, I'll say for 1989, fair play, they give it a go. And given that, I'm going to get some Geordie now, because that's where it's made in Newcastle. Some Geordie's going to come after me and go, why are you men fucking around with my game line? They're going to come after me, the Geordies. You wouldn't know what that is, but I do. But anyone from England knows what that is.
Well, yeah, this is Reflection Studios, right? That's the guys who did Driver, for anybody who knows their game history. So that studio
Jesus
had pedigree.
Christ,
they
had pedigree, didn't they? Oh, God. They owe me. They owe me poop time. If I ever meet these guys, I say, right, you owe me some bog roll. That's what you owe me. You owe me some toilet roll. The amount of times I had to go to the toilet to try and finish this game. Sorry, I'm off. Right, come on. I'll fucking do it now. Well, Jake, once again, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. It's glad to have you with your first game, because we've had some successes. But I can't wait to have you back once again. And as all say, please, everyone, go check out the Press Beta podcast. I can't get my words out. Press Beta Cancel podcast as well, because that's your little baby, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You can find Press Beta Cancel wherever you listen to audio podcasts like yours as well. We're also pretty heavily over on YouTube. We do our live streams every Friday, our time. So check us out, pressbetacancel.com.
There we go. Well, Jake, I will see you again soon, my friend, and you take care.
Thanks very much.
And that was episode 116 of Shadow of the Beast. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I hope you had a really good time. Thank you for Jake for coming on once more. I really do appreciate it. And please, everyone, go to the Press Beta Council podcast. The link is in the description below, because it's a really good show as well. Until then, I hope you all have a really good week, and I'll see you all next week. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.